Welcome to the weekly Dharma Talk podcast from the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling Buddhist Meditation Center. This week's Dharma Talk is entitled Kempo Carter Rinpoche's Six Perfections, Joyful Effort, by Lama Kathy Wesley. Using the teachings of her master, Kempo Carter Rinpoche, as a guide, Lama Kathy describes how Buddhist practitioners set aside procrastination and find joy in the practice of meditation and compassion. If you like our Dharma Talk series, please consider donating to Columbus Karma Teksum Choling at columbusktc.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see you this afternoon. I appreciate you showing up, all of you showing up for the afternoon Dharma Talk for Columbus Karma Teksum Choling. Today, I'm Lama Kathy Wesley, and today our topic is Kempo Carter Rinpoche's teachings on the six perfect virtues. These are notes that I took when I was attending a program by Kempo Carter Rinpoche some months ago at our home monastery of Karma Triana Dharma Chakra in Woodstock, New York. And as you know, since Kempo Rinpoche passed away last year, a lot of us have him on our minds, and we've been trying to help each other to work through the feelings that we have without having him near us. And so we're all doing the best we can. But one of the things that seems to have helped me a lot has been to know that there are so many of Kempo Rinpoche's students around the United States and around the world, and that it strikes me that each of us received something special from Kempo Rinpoche. Maybe it was a humorous thing that happened. Maybe he made us laugh. Maybe he taught us something that we didn't know before. Maybe he was able to help us solve a problem or gave us some small nugget of his wisdom. And it's these small nuggets of wisdom that have been sort of placed around the world in all of his students. Every student of Kempo Rinpoche got something special. And I think that our work now in this world right now is to make contact with all of Kempo Rinpoche's other students in whatever way we can. We're all students of His Holiness Karmapa, so we'll all run into each other at some point. But when we see one another, it's important that we share our stories of Kempo Rinpoche with each other so that we can keep each other encouraged and keep each other informed and keep the wisdom flowing, because Kempo Rinpoche's wisdom suffuses so many people's lives and has helped so many people. And to be able to keep those teachings moving is a great blessing. So that's a little bit about why I'm happy to share this information with you today. All of these teachings on the six perfect virtues that we've done so far have been shared from the book Jewel Ornament of Liberation. Here is one of many different translations of the Jewel Ornament of Liberation that are out there. This one, it was published by Akhar Rinpoche's Samyaling Monastery in Scotland, and they even translate the title differently: "Gems of Dharma, Jewels of Freedom." And so, the Ornament of Precious Liberation is yet another title for this amazing book, which was written by Gampopa in somewhere around the 12th century. And it gives a great description of the path to Buddhahood, how an ordinary person can become an enlightened being. And it presents a graded path, or Lam Rim, graded path, method of slowly working to remove our obstacles and obscurations, slowly to ripen our qualities, and then hopefully to attain the place beyond negative habits, the state of Buddhahood. So in any case, that's what all of these lectures are based on. This is not a strict word for word or line for line or chapter for chapter recounting of Gampopa. This is just sharing what Kempo Karta Rinpoche had to share from his own wisdom mind in telling all of us about the six perfect virtues. So to begin, I'm going to say a short prayer in Tibetan, and it's a prayer of taking refuge, and then that will be followed by a short prayer to the lamas. So we'll start with a short prayer, and you can join in at home, or if it's a prayer with which you're unfamiliar, you can join in your heart and in your mind, and think that you dedicate this session to all suffering beings. O Sanje Chudan Sochi Chonam La Jang Chu Pardu Dani Kyapsu Chi Daji Jin Soji Be Sunam Ki Drola Pinchu Sanje Druparsho. Now, in English, I'm going to recite the four immeasurable meditations. May all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May they have that great happiness, which is freedom from suffering. May they come to dwell in great equanimity, free of attachment and aversion to those near and far. And now, the prayer to the gurus. O Palden Sawe Lama Rinpoche Tagi Chi War Pe De Den Shula Kadrin Jembo Gane Je Sun Te Ku Sun Tugging Udrup Sal Du Son. Okay, thank you. To recap, what we've learned about so far have been the first ones of the six perfect virtues. We've already learned about generosity, the first of the six perfect virtues, ethics, the second, patience, which is the third. So today is the fourth, fourth of these, which is the practice of diligence. And then the next one is meditation, and the final one is wisdom. So you can see each of these six perfect virtues as building one upon the other. For example, if the goal of a person's spiritual practice is to become more kind and more loving and less selfish, it's something we struggle with every single day. How do we find ways to be less reactive, more helpful, more purified of our own mental afflictions? How can we be present for others? And the path of the six perfect virtues is the way that the Buddha taught for us to do this. He said you can find a way to slowly wear down and do away with selfishness by practicing these six virtues. So you can see how being generous is a great way to start, because if we're always holding on to our things, the things that we believe are ours and should not be shared with others, if we give up the idea that we have exclusive right to things and we can become a little bit more sharing, like sharing our stuff and sharing our time and sharing our goodness with others, that's generosity. And then if you're generous, it's very easy to be ethical, because ethics is the practice of stability. If we can be ethical and treat others right and treat others with respect, then people will trust us. And if we don't, then we won't be trusted and we won't have a stable life. So this is why ethics is the second of the six perfect virtues. Patience is the third, because patience is what helps us when we are feeling angry. So when we're feeling impatient and angry and upset about things, patience is what tells us to take a breath and then to speak. Because I myself had a problem with that yesterday, I lost my temper and it was just terrible. I kind of acted out of childish indignation or whatever. And it was really awful. And so, I always like go through terrible guilt when this happens. I used to go to my teacher, Kempo Kartha Rinpoche, and I'd say, Rinpoche, I messed up again. And he would be very kind and gentle. And he would say, don't ever do that again. And so I keep having to work on these things. So I'm still working on my generosity. I'm still working on my ethics, and I'm still working on my patience. Maybe diligence will help me, do you think? So we'll talk about diligence today. Because if you're generous, it's easy to be ethical. And if you're generous and ethical, it's easy to be patient. And if you're generous and ethical and patient, it's easy to be diligent. And the kind of diligence that Gampopo was talking about in his book and that Kempo Carter Rinpoche was speaking about in his lecture was how to be diligent at the right things. Because you see, what Kempo Rinpoche said in his lecture is, he started out by saying, right now, we're diligent in all of the wrong things. We're diligent in looking out for ourselves. We're diligent in looking out for our businesses and our people and everybody we think belongs to us. We're diligent in all of those kinds of things. But unfortunately, right now, we haven't truly developed a lot of diligence with our spiritual practice. I have a lot of people come to me to say, I was not able to practice for like the last week or the last month. It's been so hard for me to get on the cushion. I don't know what to do. And so what I tell people is that we have to become diligent at the Dharma, as diligent as we are at Dharma, as we are with everything else. So it's my hope that by sharing some of Kempo Rinpoche's talk, that we'll all get a little bit more diligent. So right now, we're diligent about all the wrong things, he said, such as competitiveness or difficulty. And he said, but true diligence is the enthusiasm for virtue. True diligence is enthusiasm for virtue. They call it joyous effort. And he says, knowing that Dharma and virtuous activity are the best use of your time and the best use of your energy. So knowing that Dharma is the best use of your time and energy, and that Dharma is the true source of happiness. So, for example, at the beginning of this talk, I recited in English the short four-line prayer of the Four Immeasurables. And reciting that prayer, it reminds us of what the Buddha's basic teachings are. May all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness, which is virtuous action. May they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, which is negative, selfish action. May they have that great happiness, which is a freedom or sorrowlessness or freedom from suffering and its causes. In other words, may they transcend these. May they come to dwell in great equanimity, free of attachment and aversion to those near and far. And so as a result of practicing these things, hopefully we will understand that the true cause of suffering is selfishness, anger, competitiveness, jealousy, pride, all of those things are causing us harm, and we need to find ways to set those aside. And then to counteract them, we need to begin to take hold of virtuous things like prayer, meditation, slowing down our reactions and counting to 10 before we speak, all of those things. If we can practice all of those causes of virtue, more happiness will come our way. And if we can avoid those negative things, we'll be able to do away with causes of suffering. So Kempo Rinpoche said that there are two aspects to diligence. By the way, the word for diligence in Tibetan is sundru, which I guess in English you could spell T as in Tom, S, O, N, D as in David, R, U, sundru. The T is somewhat silent. So sundru is the word for diligence, which can also be translated as Kempo Rinpoche's definition, which is enthusiasm for virtue, and also as joyous effort. So there's two aspects to diligence. One is the continuous application. The continuous application, meaning continuous or daily effort toward virtue. And the second aspect is devoted application. Both of these are important. Number one, we have to keep trying to meditate and practice every day. That's the first kind, the continuity of application. And then devoted application means we sort of have to show up and actually be present when we're meditating. And it's better for us not to be distracted while we are meditating, not to go to other places in our minds in order to practice when we're trying to practice, to stay practicing with our meditation, not go wandering elsewhere. I remember when there's a group of us right now studying the Jamgon Kantrol's book, The Great Path of Awakening. And there's a line in The Great Path where Jamgon Kantrol says, a person who sometimes practices, but sometimes doesn't practice, has not truly understood the meaning of Dharma. And I think that this is what Rinpoche was getting at when he said, we need to recognize that Dharma and virtue are the best use of our time. So even if we're doing a daily life job, like we're at work or we're doing something with our family or friends, we can always be trying to be kind, always be trying to be gentle, always be trying to be virtuous in our actions, thoughts, and words. So it's something that we don't have to necessarily sit on our meditation cushion to do. So these two kinds of these two aspects of diligence, the continuity of application, meaning we try to practice every day, and the second, which is devoted application, meaning we try to actually practice when we're practicing and not wander off. He said these are the antidote and the to laziness. So diligence is the antidote to laziness. He said there are all kinds of laziness. In the jewel ornament of liberation, Gampopa talks about three different kinds. One of them is the laziness, which is, I guess you could call it indolence, to use an old-fashioned word, the kind of laziness where you just kind of like to lay around and not do too much. You like to sleep a lot. Basically, you're a house cat. House cats sleep a lot. That's what they do, right? But so this is the first kind of laziness we have to counteract, the laziness of indolence. Second one is the laziness of busyness. People like me who think we practice, we think we have our little halos on, but we are not actually practicing because we're just too busy to be practicing. So we call it the laziness of busyness. And so that's the second kind of laziness. Third kind of laziness, this one's a little bit insidious. It's a little bit under the radar. But this kind of laziness, it's called the laziness of self-doubt. The laziness of self-doubt. In other words, we don't think that we have Buddha nature. And even if we did, there's probably not much chance that we're going to be able to do much with it because we're just not worthy of doing Dharma practice. And so what Kempa Rinpoche says we have to do is we have to counteract these three kinds of laziness. So he said one of the aspects of the laziness of busyness is the addiction to inferior activities. That's the way the translator put it. Addiction to inferior activities. And then he said, why are we so enthusiastic about doing all the wrong things? I remember when I first started practicing meditation, Kempo Carter Rinpoche would tell me over and over again to stop going to the movies. He said, movies are a waste of time. He said, don't do it. And I'm sure he would say the same thing about theater and drama and all of that, musical entertainment. I'm sure he would say all of that. But later in his life, he lightened up on that a little bit, but he still reminded us that we could be easily distracted by pretty shiny things and be attracted away from our meditation practice, which might seem a little boring by comparison. So he says, why are we so enthusiastic about doing the wrong things? Perhaps it's because we have doubts in our mind that Dharma will actually work for us, either because we don't maybe have a strong karmic predisposition to do Dharma, or we just haven't heard authentic teachers explain the Dharma. So he said, if we can begin to appreciate the Dharma and see how it can make a change in our life, when we see the changes that can happen in our life from just simple meditation. I've had people write me notes and tell me that just being able to sit and meditate allowed them to count to 10 before doing or saying something that was not going to be helpful. Even just that little bit of benefit should and could be enough for us to get back on the meditation seat every day. Another problem that Rinpoche says we fall into, another mistake we fall into, he said, we mistakenly think that we have to study a lot of Dharma and have intensive study before we can practice. That maybe we have to, I've actually had people tell me, until I have studied enough to know whether Dharma is the real thing or not, I'm not going to practice. And so he said, that's kind of a mistake. He said, because really where the change happens is in the laboratory of your meditation seat. When you actually recite mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, the compassion mantra, or any mantra, when you recite mantra, when you do quiet sitting meditation, when you do Tonglen, sending and receiving, loving kindness and compassion meditation, when you do these kinds of meditation, it actually changes us from the inside out. The brain scientists are already looking at the brains of meditators and saying that there's change in the brains of such people. And this isn't accidental. It's something that we as human beings can do. And Kempo Rinpoche said, it doesn't have to be a difficult or complex meditation practice. He said the mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, is probably, he said, the easiest kind of meditation for an average person to do. He said, in fact, he goes back in history to the second Karmapa, Karmapakshi, who he said we are all grateful to in Tibet, because it was Karmapakshi, the second Karmapa, and this would be 13th century. The greatest thing he did for the Tibetan people was to spread the practice of the mantra Om Mani Padme Hum far and wide, and encourage everyday people to recite the mantra. And by reciting Om Mani Padme Hum and reciting their mantras on their prayer beads, like my prayer beads here, you can do your Om Mani Padme Hum mantras on your prayer beads, and that can be your meditation. You can feel the movement of the prayer beads in your hand and recite Om Mani Padme Hum, or you can do it with a melody such as they use at our home monastery at KTC Columbus. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. We can do something just that simple. And by placing our attention on the mantra and on the movement of the beads, we could get 2 or 3 or 4 minutes of meditation very easily. And so if we can be diligent, Rinpoche said in his talk, he said, if we can be diligent in just this one thing, he said, it's something that you, all of you, he said, can do. He said, so this is a little bit about how to counteract the laziness of sleepiness and the laziness of busyness. But then also, he said, this devoted application, being able to be fully present when you're practicing, is a good remedy for discouragement. He said, which for many of us, discouragement about the Dharma and whether it will work or whether we can work with Dharma comes in the form of what Rinpoche's translator called self-denigration. It's the thought, I can't. It's the thought, I can't do it. I can't do it. So what Kempo Rinpoche said is that where he came from in Tibet, The easiest way to counteract the words "I can't" would be to actually do some practice. So, for example, let's say you're going through your day and you're feeling the laziness of indolence or the laziness of busyness. And you say, "Oh, I just don't have the energy to practice today." What you might do is do some of that Chenrezig mantra, just a few Om Mani Padme Hum recitations. And that way you would have actually practiced and you'd actually done something that much, but it's yours. Nobody can take that practice away from you. You did it. So I think that we run into a lot of problems. Like another thing we run into with this self-doubt is that we tend to judge our practice. And my wonderful Dharma friend, Jim Dunn, used to tell me all the time that one of the best pieces of advice he got was from one of the forest monks living in the United States who meditate in the forests, and meditation is their life. And the forest monk said to him, "You folks judge your meditation too much." He said, instead of thinking it was a good meditation or it was a bad meditation, he said, "A good meditation is one you actually did. It's one you actually sat down and did. That's a good meditation." So if we sit on our cushions and struggle a bit, and it's not easy to tame the monkey mind, if we have a hard time taming the monkey mind, then according to Minjo Rinpoche, what we have to do is give our monkey mind a job, which could be following the breath in, following the breath out, and then gradually returning our attention to the breath. Or it could be reciting mantra, or it could be doing the love and compassion meditation. We have to give the monkey mind something to do. So if we give it a discipline, then this will help us to push through the thought, "I can't." This is what Kempo Rinpoche said. He said, we need to push ourselves through the thought of "I can't." And recently, I was talking to a couple of my Dharma friends recently, and it just occurred to me to say to them, if they were feeling discouraged, that maybe if they thought about their Buddha nature as their younger brother or sister, and that what they need to do to take care of themselves is actually something they need to do to take care of their Buddha nature. And you would show up for your little sister. You would show up for your little brother and do something for them and help them along the way. So I said, maybe we have to learn how to show up for ourselves like we were our own older sibling. So if that little tip helps you, I hope that it's something you can think of in the days to come. Kempo Rinpoche said that if we stick with our meditation and do our meditation and practice our mantras and so on, he said this devoted application, this push, he says it gives us a surge of courage that helps us to overcome the laziness that is discouragement. And so a surge of courage is something we need to try to work on for ourselves. Diligence also, although it is a separate one of the six perfect virtues, is also helpful in the practice of the other perfections. And so if we can practice this joyful effort, then it will help us to devotedly practice generosity, devotedly practice ethics, and devotedly practice patience as well. And so in Gampopa's book, he said, if we see the benefits of practicing diligence, if we see the benefits of practicing Dharma, he said, then in that way, we'll be able to get on our cushion and practice. And if we see the defects of laziness and the defects of not practicing, I know how it feels to have not practiced for a while. So I think all of us have gone through that. So all of us need to, I guess, think about how to be more diligent in our practice. So in any case, this is a little bit about the practice of diligence. I'm going to take a quick look here. Oh, yes. In Gampopa's book about the jewel ornament, there's a couple of comments here. He says that if we look at impermanence and the fact that our lives are, it's fantastic that we have what's called the precious human life. It's very precious that we have this. Even though we've been through a lot in our life, we're still lucky to be here, and we're still lucky to have our faculties and the capability of learning how to meditate, learning how to practice. If we can feel some gratitude for that opportunity, he said it will help us to recognize that this opportunity may not last forever, and we need to do our best to practice diligently so that we can take advantage of this precious human life. So that was something that he wanted us to know from Jewel Ornament. We have three aspects, he said, to the applied diligence, this devoted application. Diligence in getting rid of our defilements, diligence in accomplishing virtue, and diligence in working for the welfare of others. And if we can practice this day-to-day diligence, I made a mistake. That's not the diligence that is devotion. That's the first type of diligence, which is application. And so if we can have this continuous application, this will help us get to our meditation seat and get the practice done. In terms of the devoted application of diligence, once we do virtuous things and see the benefit that that virtue does for us in our life, and the benefit that virtue does for other people in their lives, then we're going to be more inspired to practice more and more. One of the ways we can actually judge or think about our own practice is Kempo Karcher Rinpoche gave us advice one day, and he said, if you are trying to evaluate whether your Dharma practice has been effective or not, he said, you need to evaluate your practice over a long period of time. Don't look for how you were yesterday and then today to see improvement. He said, it's better to look back farther, like where were you 5 years ago? Where were you 10 years ago in your life and in your emotional and spiritual life? Where were you that long ago? And where are you today? And he said, you will find that you are better able to cope with things now than you would have been 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and that you should and could and should take joy in those changes that you've made. So in any case, that's a way to evaluate your own practice. So there's a lot more that could be said about sundru or diligence, but I think that this will be enough for today. Before we wrap up, I'd like to do a short practice of Tonglen or compassion meditation with you. And then after that, I'd like to invite you to type in your questions, and I will be able to answer the questions at the conclusion of the program today. So in any case, let's do a short session of Tonglen meditation. We take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Through the merit of generosity and other good deeds, may we attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. And now, if you're unfamiliar with the practice of quiet sitting, let's do a little bit of quiet sitting. We begin by placing the body in a stable posture on our seat. If we're sitting in a chair, our feet could be flat on the floor. If we're sitting cross-legged, we can have our legs crossed. And we can begin by straightening the spine, tucking in the chin. You can either close the eyes or have them partially closed, or looking downward, The seat is stable, the back is stable, the legs are stable, the arms, shoulders, and head are stable. The gaze is downward. We can touch the tip of the tongue to the upper palate behind the front teeth to rest the tongue and relax the jaw. Next, we form the mental motivation, starting with the first of the three excellences. Excellent at the beginning, thinking, I dedicate this practice session to all beings. Beginning with one deep breath, breathing out, and then allowing the breath to come and go naturally, placing your attention on the breath as it comes in and the breath as it goes out. When we are distracted by thoughts, we notice the distraction. We label the thought thinking. We let go of the thought and then consciously return our attention to the breath for a fresh start for our meditation. And now I'm going to share the compassion meditation based on Kempo Carter Rinpoche's Tonglen Sending and Receiving Meditation from his book Dharma Paths. All sentient beings in this world are related to us. We have all been related in one way or another, lifetime after lifetime, for countless lifetimes. All sentient beings are like our relatives and friends from previous lives. None of them wants to suffer. And yet, because of habitual tendencies and negative mental afflictions and ignorance, they wander in the cycle of samsara. And so we form the wish to want to benefit them. We form the bodhisattva wish to free all beings from suffering. And then we use our imagination to benefit others. We imagine that as we breathe out goodness. It can be in the form of light. And you can breathe this out to all beings, imagining that as this goodness touches them, it benefits them and makes them happy. With every out breath, think you're giving goodness to others. Kempo Rinpoche in his book says, just like the sun spills out over the horizon at dawn and reaches every part of the world, think that your goodness flows out and benefits all beings everywhere. This is the practice of love, the wish for others to be happy. Now, on the in-breath, imagine that you remove from beings all of their difficulties, all of their problems, all of the things that make them suffer. Imagine that you're breathing these in, and that as their suffering touches you, it meets your bodhisattva motivation, your pure bodhisattva motivation, and all of that suffering dissolves into nothing and disappears. And then again, with the out-breath, give goodness to all beings. On the in-breath, remove all of their suffering, which meets your bodhisattva motivation, dissolves into nothing, and disappears. We'll meditate like this for just a minute or so. And then, after we've meditated for a short time, we release the visualization, we let it go, and it slowly dissolves and disappears. And we let our mind rest within itself in a place where there's no you, no sentient beings, no act of saving or benefiting. There's just quiet, openness, and peace. Okay, thank you. Really appreciate having had the time to practice with you today. And we end our practice with the excellent at the conclusion, where we mentally dedicate all of the goodness from our session and from our practice to the benefit of all sentient beings, imagining that as we dedicate, all beings are freed from suffering. Okay, now I want to thank everybody for having tuned in these last few weeks as we've been covering Kempa Rinpoche's six perfect virtues. We're not quite done. We still have to cover meditation and wisdom, which will be one final class. They'll be combined. Meditation and wisdom will be combined in one class. But that will happen at 1 or 2 weeks, actually about 2 or 3 weeks from now is when it'll happen, because next week, we're bringing Lama Tom. Lama Tom will be addressing the Columbus KTC's Dharma Talk next Sunday at 1 o'clock on Columbus KTC's Facebook page. And so you can tune in on the Columbus KTC Facebook page. And I think I don't know if we're going to be able to broadcast on the Columbus KTC YouTube page. We're going to check into that. And if we can, we will. And if we can't, we will catch you next time. The YouTube audience will catch you next time. But meanwhile, I'm going to take a few minutes now off list because my eyesight is not good enough to be able to read all of your questions and answer them on camera. So I will be looking on the Facebook page and answering questions on Facebook for the next 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so. So if you have access to Facebook, you can send a question. Or if you don't have access to Facebook, you can write me a letter at an email at Lama Kathy, LamaKathy, at columbuskTC.org. And I'll answer your questions sometime this week. So thanks again for joining, and thanks to all of you. I hope you have a wonderful week. Stay safe out there. I know that I've talked to quite a few people who are returning to school, either as students or teachers, and please be safe and take really good care. And I'll be thinking about you from here. So Since Kemp Rinpoche made a special point of talking about the Om Mani Padme Hum mantra, this in the teaching we're sharing this week, I hope everybody gets to recite some Om Mani Padme Hum this week. So thank you very much to all my friends, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dharma Talk. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. To learn more about the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling or to donate to support our Dharma Talk series, please visit our website at columbusktc.org. The opening and closing music for the podcast is Tibetan Flute Song by Tamding Arts at tamdingarts.com. Please join us again next week for another Dharma Talk.